go ahead, pick up the phone and give us a call.
So remember that everyone who participates in our conversation today on Lifeline is eligible to win a pass to Kingdom Bound 2016, and it's happening in July this year. We mentioned earlier that Matt Maher is coming. Well, Matthew West will also be there. You're listening to Matthew West right now. Well, joining us live on Lifeline, somebody whose voice you hear every single day on Financial Moments, his name is Tom Copeland, and he's a good friend to the ministry here, and an incredible individual in the sense that he's been gifted by God to really help us understand how to better manage money God's way. And just like there are people who are experts in a variety of other fields, Esther Goulias is a tax expert. We have her with us all the time. Tom Copeland is amazing when it comes to managing money God's way. And what's important to note is that it's not his business. It's literally his ministry. And Tom, welcome to Lifeline again. But that's the reality, right? For business, you're a chartered consultant?
I'm a chartered professional accountant in Canada.
That's what it is.
And my clients are owner-managed private businesses, generally successful entrepreneurs, but the people we help in ministry is absolutely everyone, and they're generally people of more, you know, average income and some low income. And, yeah, it's just done on a ministry basis. I don't sell any financial products, and it's great to be here, Neil.
Yeah, well, I mentioned before that you love the Lord. That's obvious, and that you have been called by God to teach on finances. So we get you back on periodically when we have the opportunity. You're a CPA, as you mentioned, and author of the book Financial Moments. Author of Financial Moments, the vignettes that are heard on some 70 radio stations. And I didn't realize you're in TV as well.
Yeah, three TV stations.
That's solely based on good looks, right?
Not at all.
So all of this is heard across Canada and some northern parts of the United States, obviously right here on WDCX as well. But you've been doing this a long time and got started, what, in the early 80s?
Yes.
So
1982, yeah.
So you've obviously had a lot of experience talking about these kinds of things. Copeland Financial Ministries, though, tell us about that, because obviously this is not what you do commercially for business. It's what you do in ministry, and it includes Financial Moments, but give us the larger picture of the call that you have on your life to teach from God's Word about this.
And that's it. Copeland Financial Ministries has been set up, and the ministry is solely focused on teaching God's Word on finances. That's it. We have a number of trained financial coaches, and of course there's also myself, and we teach people God's Word on finances, lead small groups, do the Financial Moments on radio and TV, and even do some financial counseling as well for those people who would like that. And for any details or any information on the ministry, they should check out BibleFinance.org.
Yeah, it's simple enough. We hear about it every day on Financial Moments, but it's BibleFinance.org, and we're going to dig in here today with Tom Copeland, talking about holiday debt, dealing with issues like consumerism, materialism, and all the things that we can get caught up in as human beings. But let's get to it in a moment. We'll take a break here. We'll be back with Tom Copeland of Financial Moments right after this word. It should help set the stage for what we're going to be talking about today on Lifeline. So stick around. And anything you want to know about Tom Copeland, you'll find at BibleFinance.org. Don't go away.
Financial Moments with Tom Copeland.
During Christmas time, people often spend more than they can afford and accumulate debt. In the parable of the tower, Christ admonished us to plan ahead, which means we need to save for future needs. To accomplish this, you need to follow a budget to ensure that you spend less than you earn and have sufficient savings for future expenses, which would include Christmas gifts, annual insurance premiums, vacation, etc. For example, if Christmas gifts cost about $900, you should save $75 per month throughout the year to ensure that you have sufficient funds and to avoid debt. Saving is biblical. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise man saves for the future." How much do you need to save? Form number 3 of the Copeland Budgeting System, available from BibleFinance.org, provides a tool for estimating the required monthly savings to meet future expenses. In summary, Follow a budget to ensure that you have sufficient savings for future needs. Don't
turn away. If you just made a New Year's resolution to try to kick your lifeline addiction in 2016, good luck with that.
I mean, you can try if you want to, but praying and fasting might be a better idea. All right, here's the thing. We've all made financial mistakes. We heard that from some of our callers earlier. I shared a story about a dumb financial decision I made. And we want to do things God's way because we know that blessing is associated with obedience, right? If we obey, what happens next is up to God. He's fully responsible for the consequences of our obedience. When we disobey, that's more on us. And we can make some really foolish decisions here on this earth that they cost us dearly, sometimes financially, sometimes relationally or whatever. But God has a plan, and he's laid it out for us in his word. And what I appreciate about Tom Copeland, the host of Financial Moments here on WDCX and the founder of Copeland Financial Ministries, is that God's really gifted him to be able to help direct us to God's word, to help navigate us through the crazy process of living this life and dealing with things like finances when it comes to our family, when it comes to, you know, our needs. And a lot of people living on fixed incomes or single income, it's not easy, really not easy. But we want to make wise decisions. So we've taken the time today. We're setting it aside. It's just a ministry opportunity. Tom is here. He's not going to make any money out of this. He's not selling you anything. We're just going to talk about how to manage money God's way and how to do it in a way that provides blessing to both you and your family. So I'm figuring that maybe the best thing we can do to get started here is just open in prayer, and maybe, Tom, you can close at the end, but if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of get us started and just ask God to join us here and teach us, right?
Please do, Neil. Go ahead.
My desire is not to educate or entertain anyone for an hour. What we really want to do is grow in Christ and be transformed by his Holy Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, we have the opportunity every single day to learn from you and to learn from your word. And there are many in our listening audience right now who are wrestling with finances. It's one of those things that we don't really even want to address. We don't even want to talk about it because it seems easier to just keep our head buried in the sand and hope things get better. But year after year, if we're honest, things actually begin to spiral out of control. And things don't need to be moving in that direction when we have the creator of the universe on our side. And all of the wisdom that you have offered us in your word is available to us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, you can teach us the truth of your word. So I just pray that you speak to our hearts and that some who are struggling today with financial issues would find comfort and peace and direction and wisdom. There's an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's the one who brings confusion, and he's the accuser, and he's the one who wants to remind us of all the mistakes we've made. But you came to set us free from them. And so in Jesus' name, I ask, God, that you would allow us to hear from you right now. Come and be present in our conversation. Be our invited guest here. Speak through Tom as he shares with us from his heart and from your word. And help us to experience you in what we talk about today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we heard one of your financial moments as we went into the last break, and it talked about, you know, setting aside money for next Christmas, $75 a month if you want to have $900. And all of that is really practical. But let me ask you this before we go any further. Generally speaking, why is it that we are all so resistant to budgets in the first place, right? Because that makes perfect sense. You just set aside $75, you'll have $900 by the end of the year to buy your Christmas gifts, but or whatever amount you want to set aside. But just that whole idea of the regimen of following a budget, Tom, we're so resistant. How come?
That's a good question. I think it varies from person to person. I've seen many cases and very many different views on it. I think most people get the feeling that a budget is it's a negative thing. It's very constraining. It's legalistic. It doesn't have to be. If you don't like the word budget, I usually say to people, call it a spending plan. It's just a plan on how to spend your money. And but understand this, I'd say to all the listeners, if you don't have some form of a spending plan or a cash flow plan or whatever, or a budget, it's really a budget, they're all the same thing, the odds are you're probably going to spend a little more than you make and accumulate debt and get into trouble. It's just human nature. So it's a tool. It's like exercising daily. We are exercising regularly, let's say. It's something that's good for us. It pays off long term. Mm-hmm. But I do understand that some people, when they hear the word budget, they don't like it. But I Think of it as a spending plan or a cash flow plan.
All right, so that's going to be awesome advice for anybody thinking about next year, because we can get started on that like right now. That makes sense. But what about last year, okay? Because there's a lot of folks right now listening that have accumulated all kinds of debt on their credit cards from buying gifts. Some of them they should have probably got, but most maybe not, because they were buying stuff they didn't have money for. In any case, the bottom line is they were trying to show love to people, and here they are stuck in a heap of debt. So what are we supposed to do? Where do you get started with that?
I'd suggest a few things to start off. I think, first of all, whenever you're facing any major financial decision, pray and ask God for his wisdom and direction. God's promised that he would instruct us and teach us in the way we should go, and that he would counsel us and watch over us. And the reason I say that, a lot of Christians try to figure things out on their own, when really you need to go to God and his word and ask him to direct you, because the solution for one individual or couple can be very different than another. The next thing I would suggest people do is list your assets and liabilities. Know where you're at financially. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Know well the condition of your herds and flocks and grains." Often people are making financial decisions without their financial facts, and so often those decisions can be unwise decisions.
Okay, wait, before you go further, because you said you had other things you wanted to say, and keep in mind where you're going with that, but can I interject for a second?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, so... you said make a list, I think you said, of their assets and liabilities. That sounds like a CPA talking. That sounds like somebody. But for the average person, what does that look like? How can you really? Is there a way to just sit down at the kitchen table with a piece of paper and a pencil and begin to list what we owe and what we got coming in? And, you know, how sophisticated does it have to be effective? And what does it look like in a practical sense?
Good question, Neil. The main thing is listing your liabilities. Get your credit card statements updated. Get your bank loans updated. Your mortgage, everything updated. In terms of the assets, you'd only list those things that, you know, that you don't list personal assets that you can't really sell. And I think the other thing is, actually, I usually refer people to form number 6 of the Copeland budgeting system, where you just track your expenses, just start tracking them, and just watch where your money's going. And even review where your money's gone the last year as well. But I think the first thing is to know where you're at financially, because most people... I've seen. I got a call from a lady just last week, for example, and her and her husband, when they went to basically check out... one second, sorry.
No problem. See, folks are already calling to get information from Tom Copeland. I love it.
My apologies.
No problem.
My cell phone went off. I had to turn it off. When they went to get some refinancing at the bank, suddenly the husband had, you know, 6 credit card debts that the wife didn't know about. Now, I've seen it the other way around, where the wife's got credit card debt that the husband didn't know about, and they're not working together as a team. They're not open and honest about their finances, and they're actually sometimes not even open and honest to themselves. They're not facing reality. So even if you're in a lot of debt, I really encourage you to list out your liabilities, face the facts, and then start developing a plan to get rid of that debt, because otherwise it'll keep growing if you're not careful.
What about this? What about, at least in the States, these things are sometimes called consolidation loan or some kind of a line of credit to grab all of those high interest, you know, debts and put them under one lower interest payment.
Yep.
That seems to make sense. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, too, for the person who hasn't learned from that experience and opens new credit cards, that could be disastrous. So I don't know where you want to go with that, but what do you think about that idea in general?
Well, in general, one thing I do recommend, instead of letting your credit card balances run, I say to everybody, if you can't pay your credit card off each month and you're paying interest of 18% to 25% or whatever, one thing you can do to at least save you some interest is get a line of credit or a consolidation loan, usually at a much lower interest rate, pay off that credit card. But you got to be careful. Once people do that, they think they solved their financial problem, and they carry on with their same bad spending habits, spending more than they're making, running up their credit cards again, and they're in the same problem in 2 or 3 years. So you have to really exercise the discipline to make sure you only buy things on your credit card that you need and that you pay it off each month. Don't just keep refinancing and doing debt consolidation loans, paying off credit cards and running them up again. You'll end up in trouble long term.
All right. You mentioned the Copeland budgeting system. I think that you've talked about that in the past. Is that the thing that it's sort of like an Excel spreadsheet type situation? And
yes.
Okay, so that is that suitable then as a tool to get people started? Would that be a good...
Absolutely. The Copeland budgeting system is Excel-based, so if you've got the Excel program, you can run it. The template's available at BibleFinance.org. It's free. You just download it. There's even a 30-minute video there that you can watch that teaches you how to use it. I've used this system since about 1982, and there's lots of budgeting systems around or systems to track your expenses and compare your actuals to your budget or your spending plan. But at least this one, I think it's fairly simple to run, and it's just practical. I mean, in the parable of the tower in Luke 14, Christ admonished us to plan ahead. And a budget is a tool that can be used very effectively in planning ahead and managing your cash flow. And the key with your cash flow planning is this. Make sure you spend less than you earn each month so you have a surplus on a monthly basis to pay down debt and save for future needs. That's the whole objective of having a budget or a spending plan. Most people are doing the opposite. They're spending all their income, and when an unexpected expenditure comes along, like a car repair, they're forced into debt, or when Christmas gifts come along and they haven't saved for them, they're forced into debt again.
All right. I don't want to actually throw out like real numbers, but let's just say somebody makes $1,000 and they're a believer and they want to set aside something for God's purposes. Maybe we can talk about tithing later, that whole concept. I know that you've got a lot to say about that, but they want to set aside something for God. Their mortgage is $500, so now they're operating on less than $500, and then you start looking at the car payment and all this other stuff, and they figure out, okay, I've really only got about $150 left, and well, of course, I spend $200-$300 a month on entertainment, like going out for meals and movies and that kind of stuff. So now we're in the red, right off the bat. Just sitting down, we realize we're in the red. What do you say to people when ultimately, in order to get their financial household in order, there's going to be some pain involved? For instance, maybe you need to move to a lower priced house. Not that $500 a month is a lot, but in any means. But if those are false numbers, or sell the car and buy a beater, drive a car that's not so great, but that you won't have a payment on. In other words, maybe life has to change and get a little painful before it gets better. Do you talk much about that?
Yes, I do. Because often, absolutely, Neil. Because sometimes people do have to. They have to learn to be content. They have to reduce their lifestyle. They have to eliminate some discretionary expenses initially, like entertainment, eating out, that kind of stuff, or reduce them substantially. In some cases, yes, sometimes people, if they've accumulated a lot of debt and they only have so much income, sometimes in order to balance their monthly cash flow, they have to downsize their house, or perhaps they have to go from two cars to one car. Now, that's where I say God's people have to discern what God wants them to do, because there's no one solution that fits everybody. But certainly, one thing I do encourage people to do is go back through your credit card statements, your bank statements, that kind of stuff for the last year. Have a look and just ask yourself this question. Are there any expenses we've incurred here and paid that were not needs? They were more wants and desires. Because we need to remember, in Matthew 6, Jesus said, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. The principle in Scripture is this. Put God first. God will meet your needs. He won't necessarily meet your wants and desires. And I find so often, it's not that we want to cry over spilt milk, but it's good to go back and look at where you did spend your money for the last year, you and your spouse if you're married, and just ask yourself, okay, what did we buy that we really didn't need to purchase, and what can we do different going forward to make sure we're spending less, earn more income if you can, but making it so you have a positive surplus of cash flow, a surplus of funds available each month so you can pay down debt and save for future needs.
All right. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, Tom, if you don't mind, to share any other practical, recommendations, whatever you've got for people to be able to get out of debt. And we need to hear them. So if you don't mind, if you'll hang on, we'll look forward to hearing what else you might want to share with us about that. But let me just talk to those of you who are listening again and say, you know who you are, right? not everyone listening is having financial trouble. Some of you are cash-only kind of people, and you're not living in debt. You're actually saving for the future, and you've got investments, and things are going well. One big fallacy is that having more money will help. Well, it might help to some degree, but as Tom alluded to earlier, unless our habits change, we'll just keep the same kind of spending problems going, and having more money just means that you're spending more and not budgeting and getting yourself in bigger kinds of financial trouble. That's all that really means. Something's got to change, and we want to talk about that today. We want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the binds you may find yourself in, some of the financial struggles you may have, and to just be open and honest about it. So don't hesitate to take the mask off. Feel free to use an alias name on the air, but remember that all of you who participate today, we're going to give you a chance to win a single day pass to Kingdom Bound 2016. And that's just kind of our way of saying thanks for your willingness to participate. But what would really be helpful here is for, like we heard earlier, we had several callers. I think we had three callers, plus I told my own story. Four different stories about poor choices we made when it came to managing money. And all of us admitted that we've learned some lessons along the way. I mean, this is good stuff. We have an opportunity to learn from one another. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So you know when things start to change? When we admit there's a problem. So be bold and admit that there's some kind of a problem. And like I said, you know, we're not here to expose anyone or anything. Change your name if you want to. Use a fake name. But bring the real story. Let's talk about what's actually going on. And let's talk about, you know, what your struggles are. And we'll look forward to having Tom help us through some of this as we talk together about getting our financial household in order and doing things God's way. Tom Copeland, as we mentioned, is the founder of Copeland Financial Ministries, and you hear him daily here on WDCX with his financial moments. Incredible man of God who knows what God's word says about handling money, and he's been a tremendous asset to people for decades now, especially believers, teaching them how to get out of debt and handle money God's way. So let's get started, and I'm opening the phone lines if you want to join us right now. 800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Tom is in ministry. He's got nothing to sell you. He wants to help, though. And if you're willing, give us a call. Let's get to some of your questions. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Financial Moments with Tom Copeland.
God's warning, debt is dangerous. Offers of personal lines of credit, 0% financing, and receiving unsolicited credit cards all entice us to borrow money. As a result, many people believe the lie that it's okay to buy now and pay later. This worldly belief is contrary to God's word. In Proverbs 22:7, God warns, "The borrower is servant to the lender." Inability to service one's debt will result in detrimental consequences. Here's three examples. Threats from creditors will generate tension between a husband and wife, often destroying their relationship. A Christian is unable to accept a full-time job in ministry as the salary is insufficient to service his debts. Debt causes stress, resulting in sleepless nights and health problems. The absolute truth is that God wants us to be free to serve Him and not a lender. In summary, God warns of the dangers of debt and strongly discourages borrowing.
So your boss caught you listening to Lifeline and gave you a raise? Of course.
Yeah, because that's how it happens in the real world. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Who's going to be willing to talk about a situation you find yourself in that you could use some advice on? Tom Copeland, for years now, decades, has been offering solid biblical financial advice to so many in the body of Christ and helping people to begin to walk in financial freedom. And Tom, you talked about sleepless nights earlier, but reality is, boy, money issues can be big issues, right? I mean, they're prime when it comes to talking. I mean, you talk about things like divorce, what causes divorce. Money's right up there near the top of the list. Money issues, in other words. And how many people have actually, you know, lost sleep at night, felt anxious, had to get treatment, become criminals all over money-related kinds of issues. It was never intended to be that, and God wants our first love to be Him, not money. So, and there's a lot to be said about that, you know, the whole heart issue, which maybe we can talk about in a bit. But when it comes to getting out of debt, staying out of debt, dealing with things like holiday spending and all of that, I was wondering if you had other practical recommendations that you'd want to share about how to get out of debt.
Yeah, I think as people review their expenses, where they spent their money over the holidays or as they review them over the last year, I think you should ask God to reveal to you some of your areas of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is really powerful. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, God will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. And so, for example, if you spend too much money at the shopping mall, don't go there, or if you have to go, go with a list. Get in, get what you need, and get right out. Don't just do the window shopping. That creates a temptation to borrow more, to buy more. If you're a car guy, don't go check out the do not go check out the cars at the local dealership. You'll end up with a $30,000 liability that you didn't intend it. And if someone has a history of using misusing credit cards, spending more than they can afford, perform plastic surgery is what I call it. Take a pair of scissors, cut up the credit cards, or just use a debit card. That way you can't spend more than what you have.
True. Yeah, more than what's,
some ideas.
More than what's in your account. And I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, but I remember in the past talking with you about the whole idea. Maybe it came up under budgeting, but one of the advantages to having a budget is that it can be seen by others. And so if you're married, your spouse can keep help track spending with you, and meaning you're going to have to answer for your expenditures, right?
That's right. And actually, I find when people themselves, if you get form number 6 of the Copeland budgeting system, example, and you just start tracking your where you're spending your money, even from this day onward, just start tracking it. What I find, most people will find, first of all, they become more conscious of where their money is going. They're a bit surprised as to how much they spend on certain things, and they actually start spending less just on their own. Now, if your spouse is going to see where you're spending your money as well, and I encourage spouses to share that, the spending goes down even further. And for those people that are single, we don't want to leave them out, you could have an accountability partner if you liked.
Yeah, sure. Just pray that God provides somebody, maybe a mentor or somebody like that, just a friend even from church who can help track that. Because when you're answering to somebody, it changes the equation drastically. Yeah, even if it's, you know, I mean, these are people that are on your team. They're not going to punish you. But to know that you've got to answer for an expense kind of makes you think about it again, right? And it'd be nice if we could do that all the time, just knowing that we're answering to God ultimately about every expense, every decision we make on this planet. But and it's also why he's put, you know, others in the body of Christ near us to be an encouragement and to help lead us. You mentioned some of the forms that are available in that Copeland budgeting system, but can you kind of just take a second and walk us through what you've got there that's available to any who are listening? And I think you said free, is that right?
It's absolutely free. It's Excel based. Form number one, I'll give you a quick overview, is you just list out your assets, like the money in the bank, any investments that you have, your retirement fund, if it's cashable, and your home, and you list out your liabilities. And I think we all know what they are, your credit card liabilities, your personal line of credit, if you have one, your car loans, your mortgage. And then form number two is really simple. You just list out your income, how much income you have every month, net of taxes. That form can be done in about 3 or 4 minutes. Form three is an interesting one where you list out your non-monthly expenses. So, for example, if your insurance premium next year is $2,400 for two cars, you should set aside $200 a month so that when the insurance premium comes due next year, you've got the money and you're not forced into debt. Or if your vacation next year is going to be $1,200, you set aside $100 a month in a savings account so when it comes due, you're not forced into debt.
Right.
That's form number three. It helps you plan for those non-monthly expenses. Very briefly, form four helps you to keep track of the money in your savings account so you know what you plan to use it for. And form five gives the overview of your expenses in a typical month or in the last month. And form six is just a form to track your expenses every day. And if people aren't sure what to do, I tell them just start tracking your expenses on form six and just list your assets and liabilities on form one. And that'll get you started.
All right, and I want to get to the phones here, but just real quick, if somebody's actually going to use all of that, is there a way to do it without it being all-consuming? Because, you know, you start talking about forms and my eyeballs glaze over. I'm not a guy who likes to fill out tax forms or anything like that, but
yeah.
Can you, in other words, fall into a pattern, into a system that where you can just kind of track these things periodically throughout the week, and it's not going to be 4 or 5 hours a day or something?
Oh, yeah. What people can do is just try to keep track of where you're spending your money as each day goes by, especially if you're doing it with cash, and then just call up the form and put the amounts you're spending on Form 6 every 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
Just do that. Form number one, the assets and liabilities, you probably only have to do like once every 6 months. Form number two, for your income, you only have to do once, and then you just change it if it changes. And then a lot of the other forms, when you do track your expenses and you have your revenues in on form two, a lot of the other forms are calculated automatically with the formulas we have in the Excel system. Right. It's actually a lot easier than people think. 30-minute video on the website, and you'll get a very good idea how to use it. And the price is right. The whole thing is free.
All right, and it's all at BibleFinance.org.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. All right, our number, 800-684-2848, 883-5000. Great time to get on board because we've got a few lines available, and we'll start with Eddie. Eddie, good to have you with us. You've got a question for Tom. What's on your heart?
Thank you, Neil.
Yep.
Tom, my question is around student loans.
Okay.
I have to confess, we struggled for a long time to just make the decision whether to take the loan or not. I worked like 3 jobs, tried to make money towards school. It just didn't work out. So we decided to take the loan.
Okay.
What's your general comment about, is it ever necessary to take a student loan in light of the scripture that the borrower is slave to the lender?
Okay, that's a good question, Eddie. I mean, if you just look at Proverbs 22:7, the borrower's servant to lender, one might argue that you shouldn't take on any loans. But I look at the Bible in its full context. The Bible just discourages debt, warns of the dangers, but it's not a sin to borrow money. And as a matter of fact, there may be times when God will direct you to borrow money. It's a sin to borrow, not repay, Psalms 37:21, but it's certainly not a sin to borrow. Something like a student loan, I mean, to me, I always ask people when they're borrowing money, it's what are you borrowing it for? What's the nature of the expense? If it's a necessary expense, like tuition fees, and it's a good long-term investment, which it likely is if it's good education, that can make sense to do it. The only thing I would say is I've counseled so many students coming out of university or college. They got $30,000 to $50,000 of debt in total, and often when we go back and look at where they spent their money and accumulated all that debt, probably 30%, 40%, 50% of those part of that debt was incurred with expenses that they really didn't need to incur. They were wants and desires. They were lattes. They were entertainment. They were the new iPhone every 6 months. This kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Is that helpful? That's got to be somewhat comforting, Eddie. Because,
very helpful.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been dealing with a sense of guilt, even, that maybe you did the wrong thing.
We struggled. We took like 3 years to make the decision to take the loan, and then we decided to take the loan finally. Well, this is very helpful. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Eddie, I don't think you've committed any sin. Just as God provides you the cash flow, pay it back.
Yeah, yep. Well said. All right. And it's an interesting take on that, Tom, because, you know, sometimes I think listening to certain people in the body of Christ, you might get the impression that that everything in the Bible is black or white, that there's no middle ground. And on the surface, I got to believe that some people right now are wondering, where is Neil going with this? Because, of course, there's right and there's wrong. There is no middle ground. Well, wait a second. Read Romans 14. It says, one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind, right? One man eats meat and vegetables, one eats vegetables only. The whole chapter is about gray areas, and that's where God's grace comes in. We're in relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's the one who leads us and guides us. So I was really refreshed to hear you say that the Bible doesn't condemn loans. But it warns against the dangers of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's wise, right? It's kind of like saying fire can be very helpful if you're freezing to death on a cold winter night. But it can also burn your house down, so be aware that fire can be dangerous.
Exactly, and let me give a high-level quick overview. The emphasis in the world today is buy now, pay later, use debt freely, you know, buy cars with 0% financing, whatever you want to get. You can get almost anything today on a credit card. Use debt freely, and worry about paying it back later. And if you can't pay it back, go bankrupt. It's no big deal. God's perspective, use as little debt as possible, pay it off as quickly as possible, and generally only use it for needs, not for wants and desires.
Great advice. All right, we're going to continue, but let me just say again, if you've got questions about handling money or specific questions about the situation you're in right now, and you've been lying awake at night thinking about it, bring it to the table for conversation. And if you want to, change your name. It's not about humiliating anyone or making you feel embarrassed. But we are here to provide some direction and wisdom and help. And it's what Tom has committed his life to. It's why he founded Copeland Financial Ministries. The materials he offers are free of charge. He is a chartered accountant and does that on the side. That's his business. That's how he makes his money. This, what we're talking about now, the biblical advice he offers about handling finances, this is his ministry, which he does as a gift to God and as a gift to each of you and all of us every day as we hear things like Financial Moments. So don't hesitate to bring your question. We've only got about 20 minutes left, and we want to hear from you. 800-684-2848. 800-684-2848. In the greater Buffalo area, 883-5000. Again, it's 800-684-2848. Or 883-5000. We'll be back with more of Tom Copeland. Lifeline returns. Don't go away.
Financial Moments with chartered accountant Tom Copeland.
Bill has no budget, lives paycheck to paycheck, and unintentionally spends more than he earns by accumulating debt on his credit cards. Once the credit cards are used to their limit, Bill pays them off with a personal line of credit. 3 years later, Bill has maxed out both his line of credit and credit cards. In order to pay off these debts, he increases the mortgage on his house. Since Bill believes that debt restructuring will solve his financial problems, he continues with his bad financial habit of spending more than he earns, and eventually he must withdraw money from his retirement account. Like most people, Bill believes that debt restructuring will solve his financial problems. This is not true. Debt restructuring treats the symptom, not the problem. The problem is that Bill is regularly spending more than he earns. Bill needs to develop and implement a budget to ensure that he spends less than he earns and use the surplus to pay down debt.
Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to 99.5 WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM 970 Buffalo. WDCX AM 990 Rochester and WDCX HD1 Rochester and WDCD AM 1540 Albany. This is Lifeline with Neil Boron. To join the conversation, call 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848.
Good to have you with us. Tom Copeland is our guest. He's been teaching and advising people on issues related to finances and biblical handling of finances since 1982. He's president and founder of Copeland Financial Ministries, which, as I said before, he does on the side. It's his ministry. It's not how he makes his money, so he's not in this for the money. He's not trying to sell you something. He's here to help, and he's a great resource to help us get on track and do things God's way. And a lot more to come about how you can learn more about his ministry and about some of the resources that are available from the ministry, but I invite you to stick around for some of that. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 if you're calling from the greater Buffalo area. Tom, this is Tom. We've got two Toms here. All right. It's that whole Tom thing. So you had a question about paying off debt, I think?
Correct.
Yeah, what's up? What's your question?
I currently tithe on a regular basis on approximately $40,000 to $50,000 in tax debt. Should I be still tithing, or should I concentrate on getting the debt paid off?
Okay, you said you have $40,000 to $50,000 in debt, and your question is to whether or not you should continue tithing in the process. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. Tax debt.
Tax debt. Okay, Tom.
Yeah, that's a good question. And generally speaking, whether it's tax debt or some other type of debt, the way I look at it, Romans says, let no debt remain outstanding. And, of course, as Christians, in order to be a light into a world of darkness, we need to pay our debts. But at the same time, God wants us to give to his work and to honor him with the first fruits, as it talks about in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. So I actually see it as it's a dual responsibility. We have a responsibility to give to God's work. We have a responsibility to pay our debts, that's for sure. But I would put it this way, that the tithe is a guideline. It's not a legalism. The emphasis in Scripture is to give generously and sacrificially out of your love for the Lord. The tithe is certainly a guideline. And I think exactly what percentage you give to the Lord's work, I'd say certainly what I see often is what people will do is they'll say, I'm going to stop giving to God's work. I'm going to pay off my debts first, and then I'll catch up later. Well, that's giving God the leftovers or the last fruits. I recommend against that. I think what you need to do, Tom, is discern what God wants you to do in terms of the appropriate percentage that he wants you to give. And God will direct you. I love Psalms 25:12. Who then is the man who fears the Lord? God will instruct him in the way chosen for him. So you need, through your personal relationship with the Lord, to really discern what amount God wants you to give on a regular basis, and certainly work towards paying off that debt, because as Christians, we need to pay all our debts.
All right. Is that helpful for you, Tom?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Again, let's just, Joe, we'll get to your call in just a second. And if you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848, 883-5000 if you're calling on a local Buffalo line. But you mentioned tithing, and Tom, just if you don't mind, obviously the issue comes up every time we talk about finances, and for good reason. The Bible mentions tithing. Under grace and based upon the new covenant, the New Testament, where do you stand on the issue of tithing? Because this one always comes up.
Yeah, good question. I mean, if for the people that are legalistic about tithing, when we were under the Mosaic Law, there was three tithes, the Levite tithe, the festive tithe, and the poor tithe every year. So if you're legalistic, you should actually be giving 23 1/3% of your income. We're no longer under the Mosaic Law. We're under grace. And I think it's interesting. I think of one scripture, 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul said, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I think the emphasis in scripture under grace is to give according to what God has given to you. Give generously out of your love, and as a means of worshiping the Lord. But I think I think what we're in a situation now where God wants to direct us personally. For example, a high income couple, let's say they make $250,000 a year. Mm-hmm. They may give 10% to God's work. I'd say that's good. That's giving out of obedience, but it's probably not generous giving. Let's think of a single mom that makes $20,000 a year with three kids. For her to give 1%, 2%, or 3% of her income, that's sacrificial giving. I believe there'll be tremendous rewards in heaven when she gets there. I think God looks at the facts of each circumstance. He understands our situation. And I think the rewards in heaven are going to be passed out depending on whether we've been generous and whether we've actually, even high-income people can do sacrificial giving by foregoing something. Maybe they wanted to get a new car, and they forgo buying a new car and give that money to God's work. So everybody can give to God's work, and I think you have to discern from the Lord what he wants you to do. But certainly God wants us to give generously based upon whatever our situation is. And that may be a tithe, it may not be, or it may be substantially greater than a tithe. I've worked with successful entrepreneurs who are making $3 million a year, and they're giving away $1 million a year. And I think that's fantastic. I praise God for working with people like that, sometimes $2 million. They're giving away 2/3 of their income in some cases. The average person can't do that, but certainly everybody can give as God directs you specifically.
Well said. Joe, you've been holding. Thanks for doing that. You're on with Tom Copeland. What's up, Joe?
Okay, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, the book of Proverbs says that the borrower is the slave to the lender. So given that the borrower is the slave to the lender, and then given the fact that all new money, as it comes into supply, is created as debt, then it logically follows that that form of slavery is now unavoidable for the vast majority of people. This is a terrible thing. For the vast majority of the history of the church, the lending of money at interest was forbidden, and lending money at interest is bad enough, but then throw in the fact that we're using fiat currency. It has no intrinsic value. Its value is based on faith alone. And then throw in the fact that the banks use a fractional reserve system. It's quite an impressive system where the supply of money is, it just grows and grows, and our money is confiscated through inflation. So after tax, after inflation, most people are losing out big time. And does the church have anything to say?
Okay, great question.
Well, let me address the biblical perspective. I mean, there's sort of two things you made reference to here, Joe. One's the macroeconomic issues about money supply, fee and currency, and government. I think indirectly government debts. Certainly our governments today, most of the world, Canada, the U.S., are examples where they're spending too much, accumulating too much debt, they're printing too much money. I agree with that. But let's set that aside. What I try to focus in on is what can the average person do? And the emphasis in Scripture is towards minimal debt. God warns of the dangers of debt. But it's not a sin to borrow. If you look at Psalms 37:21, it says, the wicked borrow and do not repay. The only time it's a sin is when you borrow money and you don't pay it back. And of course, if you borrow money, you don't pay it back. That's a bad testimony as a Christian. But it's not a sin to borrow in and of itself. However, I do believe the emphasis in Scripture is towards minimal debt, not necessarily zero debt, but minimal debt. And if people want some rules of thumb, these are simple rules of thumbs that I give. Don't borrow for anything but a house. Put down at least 20%, so you got a good down payment and good equity. And if the market drops, you got at least some protection. Cars, okay, maybe borrow for your first one or two cars, but try to get to a point in your lifetime where you're saving money every month. If you save, you know, $300 a month over 5 years, or $400 a month over 5 years, try to save for your next car so you don't have to go into debt for it. And try to have a plan where you become totally debt-free at some point, because certainly once you get to 50s, 60s, and close to retirement, the last thing you want is any debt when you get into retirement. So the emphasis, I'd say, in Scripture is towards minimal debt. Be very careful with debt. Make sure it's God's will before you take on the debt. The emphasis in the world is the opposite, to use money freely, to borrow money freely, buy whatever you want, and worry about paying it back later. And that's not God's will, to just use debt very freely and just go ahead and get into all kinds of debt, especially to go bankrupt.
All right, Joe, thanks for the question. We'll be back with Tom Copeland in just a moment. If you want to join us, got to get in quick. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Don't go away.
Financial Moments with Tom Copeland.
For the first time since they were married, Jim and Jennifer listed all of their debts. They were astonished as to how much money they owed. $20,000 of credit card debt, a $40,000 personal line of credit, and a large mortgage. Because of their financial problems, they were both stressed to the limit. Jim and Jennifer decided to study what God's Word, the Bible, had to say on finances. Much to their surprise, they had been violating many biblical financial principles. For example, they had been living paycheck to paycheck with no budget and unintentionally spending more than they earned. With God's help, Jim and Jennifer learned to be content with a lesser lifestyle. They developed and implemented a budget to ensure they were spending less than they earned, and as a result, over the next 3 years, they were able to pay off their line of credit and credit cards. What a relief. Now they have a plan to pay off their mortgage within 10 years. Jim and Jennifer praise God for His wisdom and His Word. They wish they had understood and followed God's financial principles much sooner.
The average commute time in Buffalo, New York is about 18 minutes. That's 4 minutes Celsius.
All right, let's get back to it here. Tom Copeland of Copeland Financial Ministries is our guest. If you want to learn more about him, you can do so by going to BibleFinance.org. And, of course, the Copeland budgeting system, which is free of charge, is available for you there. So go to BibleFinance.org. to learn more. But let's get back to the phones here. And Cam, thanks for holding. If you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Got a few minutes left. Cam, what's on your heart?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having the show on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, what's up?
I took Tom's course. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Cam. Great to hear from you. This is not a setup, Neil. I didn't know he was calling in.
Did Tom pay you, Cam? No, just kidding, man.
No. He paid me in literature.
Nice. All right. Well, this is kind of cool. So how long have you known Tom? What have you learned? It'd be interesting testimony to hear. What's up?
So Tom and I first met where we were attending the same church, which is Wesley Heights Baptist, and that was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. And his first course was probably 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of fell in the course with my wife, and I said, well, you know, Sunday school will take it. But I am in commission sales. It's a very driven type of work, and it's very hard to budget. Therefore, we had no budget, and I made a higher than average income, and I could service all my debt. We had I had a motorcycle loan, two car loans, a reasonable size mortgage, and two credit cards. We honestly didn't give very much to the church. It was just an afterthought. Maybe accounted for a percent or two of our income. But what really struck my heart was that I was acting like an owner and not a steward of God's money. I knew what to do with the first 10%, but I was really spending on the last 90% like it was mine. And it gave me a greedy heart. I was always, I couldn't find peace at work. I was always trying to make more money. And I had just purchased a $38,000 car. And when Tom talks about staying away from sort of temptation, I have to stay away from Volkswagen dealerships.
Okay.
He's a car guy.
So I felt really sheepish in the course. I got to be honest, saying I just bought a brand new car. It was an 8-year loan at 0% interest, right? And that always sounds like a good deal, but it was an 8-year loan. And my hands are tied for $600 a month now. So as we went through the course, I took about 5 or 6 other courses. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was really discouraged the first 2 courses. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And I had literally sweat pouring off the brow of my head because I wanted to be where I believe God wants us to be, debt-free,
right,
so we can hear his voice, not have the distraction of all this noise. But I have to give encouragement to everybody out there who's listening. God will do the work if you put your heart in the right spot. By class 3, I'm not kidding, the 3rd week, many miracles started happening. I know I sound kind of like an advertisement, but stuff would pop up, extra money would pop up. We got checks in the mail, and I believe it's because the Lord knew we were going to spend that 90% his way and not on us.
Mm.
And instead of buying a new TV, and I'm an electronics guy, and a new phone or a new this or that, we just said, Father, let's do things your way and put it on debt. 3 years later, okay, 36 months later, we paid off 2 car loans, the motorcycle, $75,000 on the house, and our giving went up tenfold, and I made less money.
My goodness.
Now, that's spiritual math. I don't know to this day how it worked out, but
yeah,
God did it.
Wow. How long? What was the time period?
36 months.
No kidding.
Now,
wow.
I'm going to say there was some sacrifice. I mean, there's
sure,
there's other shows you listen to where people call in and talk about sacrifice. It started with removing our cable. It was really hard to do. And then you realize, once you remove these things, how much of a vice they are in your life and how much they take you away from God. That is the real test. We went down from 2 cell phones to 1. And listen, we ate beans and rice and Kraft dinner for, you know, a year. But we showed the Lord we had to get out of this trap. And I have a different set of problems now, but money's not one of them. And that sort of...
Praise God. Wow, what a testimony. That's amazing.
It's
hey,
a huge place. Gone.
Cam, I'm just funny that you call because I have a Volkswagen, a really cool television, and a brand new cell phone I'd like to sell you for 1 low price if you're interested. That's amazing.
Can I say one thing, though?
Real quick, yeah.
Okay, I'll be real quick. Can we take a minute to pray for Tom because the work he's doing leaves him primed for attack from the evil one, and I'd like you and your listeners to pray for him and shelter him with the shed blood, please.
Absolutely,
you,
we'll do that. Yeah, and we had
thank
said Tom might close in prayer, but we'll do it right now. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of freedom that's coming as a result of people following your word, Lord. And Tom is not a guru per se. He's a guy who's entrusted himself to you and given himself over to be used by you to help teach people your principles from your word. And so, Lord, we pray for a hedge of protection and a covering over him and his family and his ministry. And then on the other side, his business, what he does for a living. But, Lord, I thank you that he's dedicated so much of his time to teach us the way of truth, and ultimately that leads to freedom because you are truth and you are freedom. And so thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in Cam's life and in the lives of so many others who've been blessed by the ministry that Tom Copeland offers. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to even talk about it here today. Use all that we've learned for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Cam, thank you for joining us. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cam. Great to hear from you. And this, again, I say to everybody listening, that was not a setup. I didn't know Cam was calling in, so praise God.
Yeah, that's huge. Because one of my questions was going to be, can you tell us about anybody, you know, who's taken the course and who's read your materials?
Well, there's your real-life example.
We'll stop right there. We've heard enough.
We've heard enough. And
but what about the course? Like, he talked about the course. Is that kind of, we've only got about 2 minutes.
My course is Financial Management God's Way. It's based on my book, Financial Management God's Way, which I believe is the most comprehensive study of God's Word on finances that I've seen anywhere. And I've looked at a lot of books on finances.
Do you teach it periodically, or when are you doing it?
Actually, churches can start small groups almost any time. There is an interactive video on the website that the leaders can use for teaching the principles, and it just really helps them to go through it. So we've had people right across the country taking the small group and using the video from the website to help the small group leader. It makes it a whole lot easier for them. Now, Cam didn't have that. He led the small groups himself. He went through the study with me first, and then he went on and led a number of small groups, and going through it again and again really consolidated and got him thinking like a steward as opposed to an owner. And he's managing money God's way, and him and his wife are in great financial shape.
No doubt. Do you ever preach at churches or go in and do workshops? Like, would a pastor ever invite you to come and speak to the congregation about this?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, on Sunday, January the 17th at 10 a.m. during the main worship service, I'll be speaking at Eastridge Evangelical Missionary Church. It's in Stouffville. I'm going to give an overview of Financial Management God's Way. And on Saturday, February the 20th, from in the morning, 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., I'll be leading a workshop at Agincourt Pentecostal Church on the topic of debt reduction God's Way. And those details are available on our website, BibleFinance.org.
All right, and that's also obviously where you can find debt reduction God's Way, the Copeland budgeting system, and all the stuff you've been mentioning today. So that's...
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Everything. And if anybody is interested in any sort of financial counseling, it's provided on a ministry basis at no charge. Again, we're not selling any financial products. We just teach and advise based on God's Word on finances. And just go to the website, and there's an email that you can send there. Just send us an email, and we'll have somebody follow up and help you.
All right. Fabulous. Thank you so much for being with us, Tom. God bless you.
And God bless you, Neil, and it's been a pleasure to be here.
Pray for us, Tom, and thank you so much for being here.
No problem. God bless, and it's been great to be on the show. Thank you very much.
Take care. All right, we'll be back with more of Lifeline in just a moment.